Feral Audio.
It's time for another episode of Drew Drogi's Minor Revelations. How are you? I feel like I just sang that. Minor Revelations. Oh, don't I have a gorgeous voice? Oh, I should be a singer. I really should be. My real calling is singing. Music. Speaking of singing and music, I'm going to keep this brief. I don't have a lot to say. But go fuck off, Patti LuPone. I'm sorry. She just was on Andy Cohen last night complaining or I think expecting this to, just this big heap of applause for trashing Madonna as an actress. What a boring point of view to have, like to go after Madonna. Well, first of all, I guess the question was, somebody asked her if Madonna, if she and Madonna talked about playing Eva Perón together, or Ava Perón, I guess how you say it, which is a weird question. And I mean, okay, cool, interesting enough, but they probably wouldn't. The two of them together, they have nothing to learn from each other. Patti LuPone and Madonna, they have nothing to talk about. But I guess ultimately, Patti was just like put out that Madonna wasn't more reverent and didn't give her the respect she deserves, because she basically just said, "Oh, I'm taller than you." I think is what she said to Patti, which is like it's Madonna. She's not going to be reverent to anybody. That's how she talks to everybody. I think we saw that, we've seen that, we know that from her. But she went on this crazy weird story about like, well, I was at the, when she was doing Anything Goes and Madonna was doing Speed the Plow, they both were on Broadway, the two different theaters, and somebody put up a sign that says only one diva here. That was the press agent, expecting that to be a hilarious personal anecdote that the whole world can identify with. And we really all are like, oh, I've been there. I guess that she just felt this need to like trash Madonna, and it really irritated me. And all these people are like sharing the video today, and I get it. The world's blowing up. We need some levity. We need somebody that's not talking about, that everyone in charge is corrupt and complicit and whatever. So like, yeah, let's just distract ourselves with these women fighting, because we love that as gay men. We just love to watch women tear each other apart. Well, it's really annoying to go off on Madonna like that. And I'm not even going to apologize for Madonna. But like everyone knows that Madonna is not an actor. I mean, everyone knows that. So to say that is punching down. I mean, there are many people who love Patti LuPone as an actor, and so for her to say that, it's not like, you know, what if Meryl Streep went on there and said, I don't think Patti LuPone belongs on camera. She's too broad. She's crazy. She's all vowels. She's a nutcase. She's never a real person. She's just an idea. Like, that would be really mean, and Meryl Streep would never do that. So don't be that way, Patti. And then she said it in the room, and you could even feel Andy Cohen just feeling like, ew. And it just felt this thickness, this heaviness about it, because it was just mean. And I think it was like, did Patti just want to be popular in the room with Andy Cohen and say something, or she really just wanted respect from Madonna or whatever she needs? It's like, you know, just be kind, just be respectful. I think everyone knows that, like, you were Ava Perón. And she also had to bring up that, like, the whole Glenn Close Sunset Boulevard thing. She's got so much beef with so many people. She's destroyed so many dressing rooms in fits of rage. I've been around this woman, and she is she's vile. And I don't say that lightly. I saw her in a play that was based on a real woman, and that real woman's family came to see the play, and Patti could not have been ruder and more dismissive. It was heartbreaking, actually. And it was like, I saw that happen, and it was like out of a movie, how you saw someone behave towards another human. You're like, the star is upset, you know? And that's just not how most people behave. And that's not how most, successful celebrities behave, actually. They at least, in front of people and like, you know, in public, are a little bit more respectful and aware that like assholes like me are going to talk shit about them on their podcast if they act like an asshole, which, you know, she's kind of being. So that's all I have to say. Let's not promote the shade that is, I mean, I'm more interested in you saying that, like, you think Madonna's a good actress. That's interesting to me. Like, if you're like, in Shanghai Surprise, she has this moment where she just embodied truth and I saw all of humanity in her eyes. That would be interesting, and that's what I want to hear. Have an interesting point of view. Even if you're lying, make it up, figure it out. Choose joy. Oh my God. I'm sitting here with my friends, Sean Buchholz and Julan Chidi Hill.
Hi.
Hi, you two.
Hi.
How are y'all?
Good.
You were just saying you haven't talked much today,
yeah,
Sean.
Yeah, just warming it up today.
I know. All I did was grunt and scream at my trainer this morning. I was a little hungover this morning, I got to admit.
Really?
I wonder why.
Where were
I
you
decided
last night?
I had the day off yesterday and just was like, did a bunch of casual day drinking on a Tuesday, by the way, everyone. Tuesday. That's what you do when you are winning at life. And then I did. I had a little nightcap with you at your bar. And yeah, that's what I think did it in. And then I had to go like sweat with my trainer today. And he was ruthless on me. And it's sort of like he doesn't care that I'm hungover and, you know. Neither does the world. But but now I have to say I'm not hungover. I mean, I feel it, I sweat it all out, but it's very painful. Mm-hmm. You go through this like horrible birth of
You like condense the hangover just into like that 20
minutes.
Right,
exactly.
While
it's like your body's like, you're going to feel terrible. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be in this amount of time.
An extreme.
And I had to just do all kinds of stuff. And I'm just
Did he know that you were hungover? And so he went in a little hard?
He did. He went in a little bit. He can sense it. He can tell when I walk in. He's very good about that. And he doesn't judge. He's not like, I'm going to kick your ass and make it harder. Because I mean, but he's also like, I'm not going to go easier on you. But he's just like, it's going to be rough.
It's going to be rough.
A lot of like jumping up and down, which is just not fun to do. When you're just sort of, and I didn't like get plastered yesterday. I just had like a casual all day drinking where I was like, I had water and everything as well. So I wasn't like, but still just, I just knew as the day was going on, I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah, you seemed fine last night, actually.
I was very chill at that point. Like, you know, you when you like day drink like over a long period of time, you don't really... Sometimes it's worse when you like start drinking at like 11 p.m. and then you're just like by last call and you're like, I'm hammered. I'm gone for the next day. It was a fast.
I didn't have dinner.
No. But I don't enjoy being drunk. Like I enjoy drinking, but I don't like being drunk.
You just like the flavors.
I like the flavor. That's what I said. I was on your show, Sean. When is that coming out?
It's coming out very soon. Yeah.
Okay. Sean has a podcast called, it's called Wine and Wine.
It's called The Wine Situation.
Oh, The Wine Situation.
Yeah. We have 4 episodes recorded. And
that's great.
So now hopefully by the time this comes out, ours will be out.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Ellen Clifford.
And you guys are so great on it. And it's like it pairs a wine with the thing you want to complain about. Yeah. So you can sort of complain about something while you drink a wine.
So like a wine for a wine, baby.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's great. It's really fun. And I remember saying on that while we were drinking, I was like, I just like the flavors. But I do. And that's really like all I want from alcohol is just the great flavor. And I like a mild buzz. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Feel good.
Exactly.
Well, I have a saying where like wine is basically just food.
It is.
It's not alcohol. It's just food.
It's just food.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
It's just, you know, it's basically
whiskey.
Like liquid salad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. And it's not barbaric. Yeah, like whiskey. My God. Not pigs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really enjoy that. You're not a big, Julan and I were in a play, we were in Die Mommy Die together. And
right.
We always enjoyed a whiskey after the show.
Yeah.
Is that your go-to?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have a brand that you really like? A label?
Yeah. You know, I'll do a Jameson always, but a Bullet, you know.
Yeah, that's me too.
Yeah.
I love a Bullet as well. Yeah. It's so good. It's really good stuff.
Love a Bullet.
You love it.
Love a Bullet.
Lots is happening in Burbank. I'm still drunk. I drove by the Iliad Bookshop. Have you guys been to the Iliad Bookshop ever?
Seen it. I've not been in it.
It's getting repainted. So that's some Burbank news. There's a bookshop called Iliad Bookshop, and I don't really know. It's like they have a lot of rare books. I wonder if they have Jennifer Lopez's original edition of the Iliad from Boy Next Door. I don't know. But I'm glad it's getting a fresh coat of paint. Like, mm-hmm. seriously, I'm glad a bookstore is, like, still happening.
Yeah.
Because there's not many of those left.
Mm-mm. Well, actually, I shot a short at that Chili John's place. Yeah, I told you this, right?
No, you didn't tell me you shot a short there.
Yeah, this guy.
Shot a short.
Yeah, I pretended to work there behind the counter and, like, served up chili.
And did you serve up real chili? John's chili?
Yeah, real.
They've got beef or... Have you been to Chili John's?
I have not been to Chili John's.
It's really good.
Do yourself
it's
a favor.
It's good stuff. Yeah. It's delightful.
Yeah, delightful.
Well, what's going on with you guys? How's your day so far?
My day's good.
It's nice. It's cozy.
Mm-hmm.
I love the weather.
It's right overcast and...
It is.
Gloomy. We're getting like... May gloom or something. I don't know what's happening. It is kind of nice. It's nice to enjoy
for
these
a
moments.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm from Northern California, so this just feels very comforting to me. It feels like home, you know?
Cozy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's nice. And, I know.
I had some extra snuggle time with my new dog today.
Oh my God. You have the best new dog.
Shelby.
Shelby's so great. She's the most chill. Easy. Like, she's just so casual.
She's so casual. Yeah.
She just like loves everybody. Mm-hmm.
She's business casual.
She's very business casual.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of dog is she?
She's like a mutt kind of dog, but they think a terrier, poodle.
She's definitely got
Maltese,
terrier in her. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, but she's not hyper.
She's not hyper at all. Yeah,
yippie like terriers can be. She's very much like it's all good. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get through this thing called life together. And she's very calming.
Mm-hmm. She's like, just feed me twice a day.
Yeah.
And take me on two walks. That's it. And she's like, chill.
Mm-hmm.
She's so sweet, though. So I talked a little bit to her. Mm. But that's more just like, oh, you're so cute. You're so cute. Doesn't really feel like
talking. What is that thing, that instinctive thing that we do when we look at animals and we get this voice? And they know that we're talking to them when our pitch changes.
Well, I think we do it to babies,
too. Babies, too. Yeah,
we do it to babies. And to the elderly. Oh, look at you baby.
Who's having the apple sauce?
Who's old? You're so old.
Who's the oldie? Who's my little oldie?
Would that be crazy? That'd be so crazy if that's what we did. We saw old people. We just go like, oh man, you're a wrinkled baby.
And you just like throw them up in the air and catch them.
They're like, please put me down.
Yeah, stop it.
I've lived a full life. I'm not going out like
I survived
this.
World War II.
Jalon, do you have animals?
No animals.
Yeah, me either.
Just my friends.
I really... They're animals enough.
My pet friends.
Yeah. And Jalon, are you working with kids right now?
Work with kids,
So what do you do with them? You know,
lessons in life today. I'm supposed to be teaching drama, but there's no time for that.
How does that work?
Well, some of the kids I do during the day, you teach Shakespeare because it's required reading. So like ninth grade is Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
10th grade is Macbeth. 11th grade, they don't do anything. 12th grade is because they're testing.
Okay.
And then 12th grade is Hamlet. And then after school, it's supposed to be drama, but it's their drama, and Miss J helped me figure this out. My life.
Oh my God, I love it.
I love it.
What are some of the problems? You obviously don't say they're, you know, we don't want to help them. They're this minor, and their issues are. Well, what is their drama? Like, I'm so fascinated by that.
Same teenage drama. Uh-huh. I mean, boys and girls and clothes and my face, my pimples, my hair, my makeup, you know.
Everything is so huge. The stakes are so high. And like they go, another thing is like they go on like these epic journeys in like a week. Like they're there's no casual, like they're like, we're a couple, we're dating.
Exactly.
We've broken up.
Yeah. My life.
I hate, you know, and it's just, it's so much that happens so quickly for them. Yeah.
There's one kid who thinks he always has a palsy. I'm like, no.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God.
Check my face, Miss J, check my face.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, so he's got some sort of form of hypochondria in some way. And he's just like, always thinks he has a palsy.
Yeah, he knows it.
Or that he's
so
having a stroke.
Crazy.
Not that he's having a stroke, just that his face is,
somehow twitching uncontrollably.
Yeah, or stuck, and I'm like, it's palsy, look it up. And,
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I love that, though. But it's like, you know, they just, it's their time to just, like, explore. Yeah. And
they're fun.
Yeah.
They're a good time.
Yeah.
What school?
Hmm.
Oh, you can't tell.
Well, we can say it off the air. The school doesn't come for you and be like, you're airing our dirty laundry.
Yeah, well.
No, it's really fun. I taught kids when I was in college. I did after school drama program. And I had no business doing it because I had no training as a teacher. And I remember teaching them like improv games and stuff. And I didn't know any of them. Yeah. I don't know where I learned them or I figured them out. And
well, it's just play.
It is play. Yeah. And you realize that that's really all they really want to do. And I remember being like, oh, I would have loved this when I was coming along. And I remember just like, you just sort of like go with the flow and trust your gut and be like, all right, we're going to be in a jungle today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going to be an animal. Yeah. And we're all just going to, you know, sort of coexist. And but it's so good to teach them like this sort of like way to process their feelings. This like sort of way to deal with all of that and process, because like it's such a crazy time, and you're kind of told you're wrong all the time, and your parents are telling you like, no, your feelings are not, you know, legitimate and, you know, and or valid, and then like your teachers are, you know, saying just behave, study the answer, you know, learn everything for the test. And it's like, it's nice to just be like, I'm gonna just let them
always tell them, fight for your rights, fight for your always, you know, question me
absolutely
everything.
And like cultivate their imagination, you know, like get that sort of activated.
Because that's the thing that like I just remember as a kid, I just always, there was a part of me that was like, well, I must be wrong for feeling these things because adults know more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you become an adult and you're like, no, I was right, and I, you know, and I'm wrong now as an adult, but as a kid, you know, like they have very pure emotions and feelings about things, and it's like, yeah, get it out.
Yeah.
Well, like a lot of times kids want like a yes or no. They want a right or wrong. You know, they want that sort of like boundary, you know. They don't want like a maybe, I don't know.
It could
be that way. It couldn't be that way, you know.
But I do give them that. I don't know.
No,
but
right.
They do.
They need that.
They
want that. They got, I mean, like, because like, I think, they are like, you know, I mean, like, to use, like, with your, you were saying with your dog, like, you have to set boundary. You have to say, like, you can't sleep in the bed. You have to be, you know, I'm the alpha. I have to let you know that. You know, kids do need that structure as well, but they also need that extra side of maybe.
Yeah.
And that side of, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And let's figure that
and
out
let's
together.
Let's figure it out. Yeah.
You know,
take some time
and asking them questions, you know, like, sort of answering their questions with more questions instead of saying, these are the answers.
Yeah.
You know, because I think, you know, that's the you know, key to life, as far as I'm concerned, is just keep asking questions, you know, like, and you don't, you know.
I do that with Shelby, too, though.
You do?
Yeah, I like, you know, I'm like, I just ask her questions. I'm like, you know, it could be this.
You ask her a lot of questions, a lot.
Is this tuna fish or is this salmon?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Oh, exactly. You tell
me. You tell me.
Yeah. She finds a way.
She finds a way.
Oh.
It's not black or white.
I love it. I love it. Well, the world's falling apart, as we know, and every day is crazy. So it's also nice to just sit in a room, in a quiet room, and just sort of talk to you guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
It really got nuts, though, didn't it?
It's gotten nuts. It's gotten crazy. And by the time this goes up, which will be next week, God knows what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
So like, I just think it's really important to just, like, not lose our minds and go crazy. Because, like, I saw it last night, and I guess because I was out all day yesterday, like, just drinking in the middle of the day, which is... Shocker, not what I'm usually doing all the time. People are really losing their minds. And people were really drunk yesterday. People were really like, I mean, I'm just like, you know, just for you guys listening, this yesterday was the day that Trump fired Comey. And like, I think that, and that was happening on all the TV screens. And we're sort of living in this crazy moment right now where, and I don't get super political on here, but I always feel like I need to acknowledge like what's going on in the world. Like, but it's like really important not to lose our sense of like community and levity and each other, because like I think everyone's just sort of, you know, it's a really scary, crazy time that we've never experienced before, and no one has. I mean, like, you know, our grandparents haven't experienced what we're going through right now. So it's like a thing where like no one can even offer any sort of like solace or advice, and we're all just kind of going,
Well, I feel like Trump keeps like pushing our system, like our democratic system. He's like, if I did this, can I still be president?
Yeah.
Like, what if I do this? And he just keeps pushing.
And he doesn't care.
Showing he can just do this and still be president.
Right. And he doesn't care. And the thing that is the most infuriating thing to me is that I feel like all of these people up there are just playing with our lives.
Yeah.
Like, they're all playing this game, and they're all, it's all about, like, loyalties to this and that and money and all that. And we're all just, like, going, okay, cool, guys, can we stay alive? Can we stay on this planet? Can we be people? Can we, like, explore what we want to do with our, you know, as opposed to just, like, you know, and it feels like a lot of times, like, it's just, like, they're all up there together, like, just, like, kind of doing a weird play, you know, essentially. Yeah. And but it directly affects all of our lives.
Yeah.
You know? And to not sort of acknowledge that is crazy and not honest, but it's also like you can't live in it. And because there are people I see on Facebook that are melting down, that are losing their minds, that are just like the world is over and blah, blah, blah. And it's like you can't think that way. You can't give it that much power, but you have to acknowledge what's going
what's
on.
Going on.
What's going
but
on?
But also just like the small stuff is important too. Like we forget nuance and subtlety when we're afraid for our lives. And that's what I really enjoy with doing this little show. It's like just talk about the small stuff, the little things, because that's really what illuminates who we are, and the specifics make us more, you know, universal in a way. And it's like, and I think it's hard because we're just constantly like I think about every week, like, what am I going to talk about at the top of the show? I don't know. The world's blowing up. And it's like, no, let's find something smaller and go there. Like, let's do one foot in front of the other, one, you know, because it's really, it's hard and we're all panicking. And I think it's good to acknowledge that we're panicking and just have each other and just kind of go, hey, I need people right now. I need, you know. And we've noticed it a lot, and I've talked about this a lot, that people go to the theater. They're going to plays. Yeah. They're going to comedy shows. They're going to concerts. They're going to protests. They're going to things where lots of people are. And I think that's really exciting right now because everyone's going, wait, enough's enough. Mm-hmm. Like, this is crazy. Like, we, come on. You know?
Well, things that we thought were sort of, like, figured out and assumed, like basic human decency and rights and all this stuff, are now kind of in jeopardy. And now it's like, what?
Right.
You know,
and it's going to be harder for people to take them away from us now that they've been established. But we can't assume that they're always just going to be there for us. That's the thing. That was the real, that was the you know, the lazy bubble that we were all in. We're going, oh, well, things are, progress is just happening, you know, forward.
Desensitized to anything.
Exactly. Yeah, and so we have to be like, nope, we are on top of it. We're on top of it. But we're making progress in a crazy, you know, awesome way. Like, I mean, it's like people, like, who's calling their senators? Like, who was doing that a year ago?
That's what, who was excited, you know, a movement, for lack of a better word.
Yes. Like, it's really, and it's created a lot of activism and a lot of talk. And, you know, it's like people saying, they're so tired of hearing about it. I'm like, well, welcome to the rest of the world. Like, you know, the problems, the arrogance of the United States, you know, we were always talked about when we would go, you know, you would go overseas and you would hear like students in Europe talking politics, you know, because they have to, and they have to know about it. And it's interesting to them. It is, you know, and it's like, welcome to the, hey, everybody, this is how it is now. And, you know.
Yeah, like I sent an email to the FCC, the John Oliver thing about net neutrality, about Ajit Parj, the head of the FCC right now, who's just insane.
Yeah.
Oh, wow,
And about keeping, like, net neutrality open and free and under, you know, Title II.
He's the one trying to, like, censor, you know.
Basically, they're trying to, like, revert net neutrality under Section 1 of the Communication Act of 1934, because it's under Title II now.
So what does that mean to an idiot like me? I should know. I have a show, and I'm like,
no. No, but it's basically about keeping the internet speeds for everyone equal. So, like, AT&T is required to keep the internet speed for Netflix, for Google, for Bing, for all these things at the same rate. And that's, you know, governed by that law. But if it went back to Section 1, it's a little bit looser. So, let's say AT&T and Netflix have a partnership. AT&T can increase the flow of internet, you know, speed for Netflix and reduce it for Hulu.
Right. So it's all a business. It's
and they say, they're like, oh, we're, like, we would never do that. Mm-hmm. We would never, you know, blah, 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 blah.
But bullshit. Everybody will do something for a dollar, and it's all about
And, of course, the head of the FCC used to be a lawyer at Verizon. There's a great, I mean, I'm basically just reiterating the John Oliver episode.
No, that's great. That's good to know. I don't know anything about that.
It's a great little segment. It was, you know, really informative.
Well, and it's, excuse me, it's also scary when we have a president who wants to shut things down in terms of communication and the media and people talking and saying things and, you know, and I mean, I was thinking about the Colbert comment when they were like trying to say, like, they're trying to shut down Colbert and they're, you know, we're like arresting a woman for laughing at Jeff Sessions. Like, we're in a crazy time where it's like, you know, it is, you know, Big Brother's watching, and, you know, you want to, all this kind of stuff. You're like, no, we need open lines of communication. Things need to be fair. We need to, you know, and, you know, because that is what is actually saving us right now. Yeah. I mean, if we didn't have the internet right now, we would be so fucked. If we didn't have these sort of, you know, social media, and it's like, yes, it's annoying that it's everywhere all the time and everyone has an opinion and it's a lot of noise. But it is, it's keeping us connected and knowing what's going on. Can you imagine just knowing what the paper said every morning? I mean, and let's keep the papers alive, of course. But I mean, like, just knowing one source or, like, just what was told to you on the news that night. And that was it. And that's how we used to, that's how we grew up.
But my concern, though, like, because I watch, like, Bill Maher and all that stuff, and it just, there comes a point where it just looks like Bill Maher and those people might also look crazy because they're just spouting at, like, this insane stuff that is coming at them, which is true. That is true, all of this insane information. But the fact that they keep talking about it in a way, like, maybe they start to look crazy and it can kind of switch and morph people that are actually telling the truth and actually being proactive. It can weirdly, like, make them look like somehow just because they're reporting the truth and the facts that somehow they are now crazy.
Well, that's,
and that's
what,
like, deeper level sort
but
of.
That's what 45 wants you to. I mean, that's how, that's the other thing too. It's like you're in this, like, you know, Alice in Wonderland situation where like, what's real? What's real? Truth? What's anything? Mm-hmm. Everyone seems, everyone seems nuts, and, like, you don't know, and you're like, what if all of this is one big, you know, ploy to get? I mean, it's really, really crazy. It's not. It's
so religion now.
I am correct about religion, and here is my opinion. And here I go.
Here we go. Jesus Christ, Savior.
So who wants to tell me a story?
Sean.
Oh, that's Sean.
I feel like I just went on about net neutrality.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's really good. We've never talked about net neutrality on the show.
Do you want to go first? Do you want to Rochambeau for it?
No. Go for it, Sean.
I'm just going to go for it?
Yeah.
I'm just going to jump in.
Yeah.
Well, my little minor thing is, well, I think you and I have probably talked about this before, but I've never told you this story, I don't think.
Okay.
So I do commercials, as you know, sometimes, and I was cast in a commercial that shot in Sweden.
Oh, wow.
I was cast as an average Swedish man.
When was this?
This was probably like 2007?
Okay, okay.
Excuse me. So I was cast in this and shot in Sweden. So they flew us all over to Sweden. They cast an average-looking Swedish person in L.A.
Uh-huh, like, sure.
Of course.
Of course,
sense,
as you do. That makes total sense.
But they also cast a bunch of little people.
Uh-huh.
And a bunch of really tall people, taller than me.
Okay.
So we all flew over together in this weird sort of, like, menagerie of freak
show.
What
was this for? What was this product?
It's called Tele 2.
Okay.
Which is basically like their AT&T. So it's like a telecommunications company.
Okay.
So it's like about big bills and little bills. That was the whole joke. Ha ha ha.
And then medium-sized bills? Are you?
Me? No, I was just the person going through all of them.
Oh, okay.
I was like, you know, I was the everyman consumer being like, and like there would be like a little person like on a table and like talking to me, and I'd be like, you're a little bill. Like, I like you, little bill, and don't you want a little bill instead of a big bill and blah, blah, blah.
Our lives are just so crazy.
So
crazy. Like, oh, yeah, sure, that's what I do.
And like, I love explaining commercials to people because I always feel like such an asshole.
I know. And people watch commercials all the time and just kind of scan through and don't think it's weird. Yeah. But when you actually explain what you're doing and what they are, you break it into like, what?
Yeah, like, what? And make it real and shave off 2 seconds, go.
Go, exactly.
Anyway, so I was shooting this and it was really fun. I was very excited to get to go to Sweden. It was this amazing trip and I got to, you know, do this job too and make money. It was all this great stuff. So we're on set and people just assume that I was straight, as they always do. Well, most of them, not always, but oftentimes they do.
Sure.
And so I'm like, you know what? I'm in Sweden. I'm only here for like 3 days. This is just fine. You know, we're all working. Like, let's just do it. So we get through it. I become friends with one of the second ADs. And he's like, well, let's go out later. You know, I'll show you Stockholm. We'll have a great time and go to clubs and all this stuff. Continually thinking that I'm straight. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, we'll go to some clubs and it'll be fine.
Sure.
So it's like club after club, and we like get in, and because he knows people, and he's showing me, you know, the country, and he's very nice and very sweet. And then we like end up at a strip club, and by now, like this like little sort of omission of a thing about me has become a much bigger issue because right. now I'm at a strip club and they're buying me lap dances.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, okay. And at what point now do I not feel like I've somehow misled this stranger?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And now, because I already know it's out of proportion, you know, like, and sometimes I have a way to just like let things just ride, you know, and be like, that's fine. Yeah. Just like there was a time in, when I was a kid in summer camp that like I let everyone just call me John.
Oh.
For the whole
what?
Summer. I just never
Sean.
Corrected them.
Yeah. Oh.
And by the end, and someone said, finally someone
it didn't
me,
bother you though, did it?
It didn't bother
yeah,
me. And I was
all.
Like,
yeah, I'm gonna let it ride kind of like, yeah. really, things just don't.
It doesn't matter to me. I really don't
people
care.
People mispronounce my last name all the time and it doesn't bother me at all because I'm used, so used to it. And it throws some of my friends into such a rage. They're like, it's Drogi. If you were his friend, you would know it. And it's, you know, and it's like, I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't care.
Like,
but
I like a Drogi.
Oh yeah, my name, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure with Julan too, like all the different variations that you get. And I'm sure you're just like, whatever.
The whole, sometimes I'm like, well, I've told you 10 times.
It's a beautiful
pronounced
name.
Phonetically. Thank you. It's a hybrid.
Mm-hmm. Of what?
Yeah. My Julan and Julie and Aunt Annie and so Julan. It's my aunt and my grandmother. Although it looks like Julaney. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or it's like Julianne without
the I.
Oh. Right.
And I did let people call me Julianne, like in the sixth grade. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Fine, whatever. I'm not going to fight it.
Well, I think, too, like, when you're on a set and you I mean, I read as much gayer than you do, and that's just the way it is and whatever, good, bad, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm also, like, when I'm playing a gay character on, like, on something, then they just assume, you know, it's they get it and it's not even a thing. Or people know me and they're like, whatever, we you know. But I've done other things and it doesn't come up and I don't feel like you're like, when does it feel like the right time to bring it up? It's not like anybody asked you and you lied.
Right.
And it's not like it's anybody's business and who cares? And you're also like, I'll go to clubs. I can go to straight clubs and have no problem with it. And
exactly.
It's not like I'm gonna go, I don't understand this language at all. I what is this thing? What is this odd thing? I can only do gay things with gay people and talk about gay.
Yeah. I've been navigating the straight world my whole life.
Exactly. So, like, we know how to do this.
Yeah.
And it's not a big deal. And it's not like, and also, there's also a thing, and I'm not proud of this, but you don't want to make people uncomfortable. And I know that I'm fully aware of, like, the problem in that sentiment. But I'm just, like, at times, and I'm like, it's not about, like, I don't care if someone's, like, homophobic or whatever. I'm going to be like, well, you're an asshole, and I'm not going to worry about your feelings. But it's more about, like, when someone's going out, you don't want them to have to freak out about, like, oh, I'm taking a gay person, or are they going to like this thing? And, like, trust me, like you said, I've been living in a straight world all my life. I'm going to be fine.
Right.
I can figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that it's hard, and it's also, like, when you're getting a lap dance, I hate lap dances from boys.
Word.
I hate them. I don't understand when I can't reciprocate at all and I just have to sit there in pants. It's no fun for me. It's just painful and weird and awkward, and I feel bad for the guy doing it. And that's with a guy.
Yeah.
When it's a woman, I'm even more like, I'm not really getting much out of this. How are you? Let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I just don't really.
I was more down to talk. I wanted to be like, what is going on? How is Stockholm? What's it like to be a stripper?
I mean, gosh, you guys have such good health care here.
What have you seen?
Really good yogurt.
Do you own a Volvo?
I went to a strip club when I was in college. And now I think back and I think it was all gay guys that went to this like spearmint rhino kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And these girls were kept trying to give us lap dances. And all we wanted to do was, like, talk to them and, like, figure them out. And then, like, you know, because, you know, I'm like, what's the deal? What's going on here? You know, and I shot something. I did a movie at a strip club and we were, like, backstage.
Uh-huh.
And all the crazy rules that are up. The things that are up about, like, how, you know, they can touch you. I mean, you know, you can touch them, but they can't touch you.
Right, exactly.
Any sort of like, I mean, it was all this stuff. It was all spelled out everywhere.
Wash your hands.
Yeah. No attitude.
Please don't leave food in the refrigerator.
Don't talk to Becky.
I'm not your mother. Your mother doesn't work here. I won't clean up after you.
So I'm sorry, but anyway, so how did this go down? So
I just kind of play along, and finally we leave, and the second ADR are talking, and I'm like, I have to tell you something. I'm like, actually, I'm gay. It's not a big deal, whatever. And he was like, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, right. And I was like, no, really, I'm not. This isn't a trick. And then he was like really offended and really upset.
He was?
Yeah.
That.
And then I had to spend another, like, the next day of, like, just hanging out, and then I left. But it was, like, super awkward, and he's like, I'm really glad you said something to me, but he's like, I wish you had just said something earlier, because it wasn't a big deal, and I'm like, yeah, but it wasn't a big deal to me. I had a boyfriend at the time, so I was like, I didn't want to go to gay clubs, I wasn't looking to hook up with anyone.
Right.
So it didn't matter to me, I just thought that, you know, this is what you guys did on a Saturday night.
Also, you're like... Where does this stop? Because, like, if you're going to, like, go out and be crazy and we're going to start with lap dances, are we, like, calling girls to hook up after that? What's the next step of this when it's really going to get super awkward?
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to tell you. And then, like, well, that's not fair because it's not like he ever, you know, asks you. And that's the thing, too. You're like, as out as I am and can be, I don't feel a need to tell people all the time. And also because then it becomes... about that for a lot of people. And it's like, yeah, let's know this and then move on.
Yeah, but in a way, I guess it's a lesson. I mean, for me, I took it as a lesson of like, you know, it's just easier to get that out up front because then people don't feel like I've weirdly deceived them in this way.
Yeah.
And then they're not like mad at me or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but
that's
also like,
bullshit. That also fucking makes me mad.
It is also
bullshit.
It's also like you spend your life sort of coming to terms with yourself and your sexuality and what that means to you. And it's different for everybody on earth. And how they express it and how they want to share and how they want to do it. And it's not like, it's not your responsibility. Yeah. Just like you don't have to tell people like, look, I'm straight.
Right.
Yeah.
But like I'm from Northern California. So for me, it's kind of been a backwards thing. Like I never really had that experience growing up.
Right.
Feeling like, oh, I got to pretend and do this thing. I was like, oh, this is the truth. You know, I had a girlfriend in seventh grade. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I think I'm gay. She's like, cool. I think you are too. I'm like, sweet. Peace.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is weird like on the flip side because Matt Bronger came on the show and he talked about going to gay clubs and he is straight and he was like saying how he had to like break this guy's heart and basically he was like talking to the nicest guy
he
was so great and then I had to say look I'm straight and how he felt terrible about it because he was like I thought you could just tell but then he's like no I'm going into a gay bar and I'm talking to this guy and who's really nice I'm like yeah that is different because you are going in a different sort of you know, context. And so I'm sure this guy's like, oh my God, I met this amazing guy. He was so nice to me. And it was just so easy. Cause I'm like, yeah, cause there's no tension.
There's
there
no tension
on his part. He's just like, hey, these gay guys are so nice. I love talking to everybody. Oh fuck. I have to admit, I have to tell everybody I'm straight. I'm like, yeah, welcome to our world. Welcome to the, how we feel, you know? But yeah. And it's, yeah. And I don't even know like what the right answer is in that situation because, you know, you don't want to be like all the time. I mean,
well, I felt like, you know, obliged to tell him because we had become friends. And, you know, and now at this point, I'm like, well, you assume this thing about me, which is not true. And now I feel like, you know, I need to clue you in on that.
But it's also like, you know, I mean, in terms of like in the business, when actors come out of the closet, like I was never asked. People just always could tell and they always knew. And so when I you know, got popular for my videos that came out and articles would be written about me. It would immediately go out actor or like gay comedian. And no one asked me.
Really?
It was just done. And it wasn't like I was, you know, ever like dating someone publicly or going out. No, it was just, they knew, they could tell and they put it out there, which is fine.
Right.
But I was never given the opportunity to be in the closet. And I don't know that's, so there are plenty of other actors who have to go through the process of, they have to find a time to come out. And it's very hard to know when to come out.
Yeah.
It's very hard to know, like, when's the right time? And do I do it when my movie's about to open? That feels so cynical and gross. Mm-hmm. Do I do it after it's all done? That feels like I'm desperate for, you know, and there are lots of our friends who have had to, figure that out. And I think every one of them feels clumsy about it in a way. And you don't want to feel like you're capitalizing on your makeup or your DNA or some way just to get ahead, or you don't want to be lying or hiding. Or
but like even as progressive as we get, I can't help but feel that doesn't alter people's view. You know, and like that, I don't know how to change that.
Right. Well, you just want to be like,
or
there, I am,
there's no way to change that.
There's not at all. But you're like I am, and let's move on. Like it's like, yes, that's true, but I don't want you to feel sensitive about that in any way. Or, I mean, it's exciting to see, like, you know, out gay actors playing straight roles or you know, and vice versa. I actually, and I've said this, I have no problem with straight actors playing gay as long as they're believable and they're good in the part. I'm like, I think best actor wins, like, you know, whatever. I do not believe in, like, you have to be, you know, you're an actor, number one, you know?
Right.
And, but I think that, it's exciting that people are caring less, and they're sort of like, they're not, you know, it's not a thing for these huge movie stars to like be so scared of. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they're going, yeah, I am, and then now I'm going to be kissing a girl, and it's going to be okay. Because I think the more visibility, the more they're seeing more gay people in the world, and they're going, oh, we actually know a lot of gay people. Right. Oh, okay, that must be a real thing. That must be a possibility. and it's not just some weird, bizarre, secretive thing, but, you know.
And there's something about, like, honing your truth and, like, being really honest, you know, brutally honest with yourself.
Right.
Which kind of makes you a better performer. Makes
right.
you
yeah.
more
sure.
adept at tapping into that deeper well within you that makes you go,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. But it's also hard because you just want to be like, I don't want to have to represent my people all the time everywhere I go.
Well, that's the thing, too. I don't really feel like I am a spokesman or some sort of, you know.
Yeah. Julan, do you feel that way? Are you in predominantly white situations where you feel like, do you relate to any of this?
Oh, absolutely.
You
know,
yeah,
okay,
no.
yeah,
yeah,
of
yeah.
course.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Especially navigating through this world, you know.
Yeah.
Straight white male world.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, but I find myself lately, I mean, as a kid, I was a militant, and I was, you know, like all about, you know, this Afrocentricity and like, but it also helped me like accept being a dark skinned, you know, girl who wanted to be an actor, who was told you can't do this because of purely aesthetics, like not because you weren't, you know. So yeah. But
and was the dark skin a part of it, as on top of being black, it was like, you know, is that within the that's always that's also fascinating.
It is. Oh, and it's complicated. It's layers and layers. you know, it's not just, oh, you know, because there's dark, and then there's dark, and then, you know, the darknesses, as Dave Chappelle, you know. But, you know. So, yeah, you know, I do get that. And but I also, like, now in life, sometimes I find myself in these all-white situations.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if this is right or not, but I'm like, all right, I am going to be the black voice, and this is the kind of black voice I'm going to be.
Yeah, right.
You know,
that's great. Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And it's usually something that they don't expect, you know, or I always want to comment on the things that automatically connect to blackness, you know, in those situations.
Yes.
And at first, you know, you think if I'm doing that, they think that I have no idea about what would be the real world, which excludes the blackness.
Right, exactly. You're like, I'm actually trying to show you the real world.
And, so,
and that helps other people see things. And
you're like, I'll be your informational kiosk.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, you know, and
even
then,
if you get misinformed by some of the things I'm saying, because we're not a monolith. And
that's true too. You're like, you're not perfect either.
Yeah.
And you're not put on earth to represent every dark skinned black woman on earth.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's no sense of, you know, you're like, this is me and my experience, I'm fallible, and I'm gonna make mistakes. I'm gonna say things that maybe. You know, you're also not responsible to, you know, all times. I'm sure there are times where you're like, I'm tired. I don't want to get into this conversation. You're an idiot. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah.
You know, but, and that is the one good thing that's happening right now in the world. It's like, I do feel we feel this last dying gasp of this straight white man in charge of everything.
Yeah.
And
there's
this cracking open, I think, in the world of like, the rest of the world's going, wait, no, that's not how it is anymore. And that's not, we don't look at you with respect or fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's making them
crazy.
Or revere. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Fear or revere. We're not. We're looking at you like just as a blubbering, you know, fat, scared idiot.
Mm-hmm.
That's like you. That doesn't. That's out of step with what's going on in time.
Yeah.
You know, and history is not going to smile on you for being this oppressive pig who's like holding back, you know, women, people of color, gays, fill in the blank.
Yeah,
that's not
absolutely.
You.
Right.
Yeah. You know, youth, you know, I mean, like they're so anti-progression and so anti, you know, kids. And, you know, you can hear it now when people, they want to go off on like, millennials and something. You're like, hi, the world's changing. Change with it, you know?
But they're also like white-knuckled holding on to their bags of money.
Right, that's
and
what it is.
And they won't let go of them
that
even
is what it
to let it drop
is.
Down to the lower generation.
It's about holding on to the thing. And you're thinking that everyone has the same opportunities and that everyone, you know, it's a free country. Mm-hmm. And if you want what I have, you should go out and work for it.
Yeah.
And
right.
you can get it. And that thing where you're like, wait, you didn't work for it.
Right.
You had the easiest step. You were supported forever. Your parents paid for you to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And I am talking about baby boomer generation. You got to go to, you know, and then you were just handed a job with your bachelor's degree that you worked in.
And a house for $10,000.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And you worked in this job for 40 years and then you retired. And then you're like, I worked for, you know, it's like, wait, you know, thank you for what mm-hmm. you've done.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
But, oh my God, that's just not how any of the rest of us are living. Yeah, and the next generation mm-hmm. is even going to be less that, you know, that way.
And that house they bought for $10,000 is now worth $1 million.
Right, yeah, exactly. And so then they're like, why should we give it? And then they talk about like selling the house and for, you know, 1.1 instead of 1.2. And then I won't settle for anything. And you're like, wait, you spent $10,000 on this. You have a bachelor's degree. You know, good for you, but if that. But yeah, if that sometimes. But like, you know, and so they just kind of, it's these blinders that are put on. And it is all about money and toys. Like, I have these things. And I don't want anybody else to have these things. And that's the thing that they don't understand.
And now they're like in a position of power to create policy to keep it.
To keep it away.
To keep it away. And like, that's what's even the most fucked up is that they're not like, you know what? We're coming to a close here as people. Maybe we should, open the stream a little bit and like.
I mean, I really feel so much more generosity from. I mean, I have these two grandparents that are amazing, but they're in their late 80s, and that generation feels so much more like take from like just so much more open, and like my grandparents volunteer like homeless shelters and. They're constantly like, you know, they're just like, we're not going to be around for long. We want to give, you know. But, oh, no, next generation, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No. They got rich on Reagan, and they, you know, and they deserve everything, you know. And just, pills keeping them alive and just, just Velveeta and just all the garbage that they're eating and just like... Just like drunk and just like mad, pink, pink mad people on Oxycontin and Velveeta. All right, Julan, you tell me a story.
Sure.
It's so weird. I go tell me a story.
Tell
it sounds
me a
so
story.
Gross. I don't know why I do that. Tell me a story.
Can you get out of the van?
Oh, there's fun in the van.
You know, thinking about a story about myself, and I'm thinking about I walk around and it's simple, and I just think about I should write about this. I'm not really a writer, but you know,
you're a great writer. You should do it.
I walk around my neighborhood. You know, I get bad reception in my home, so I walk around my neighborhood not far. You know, and I call them hood tales. So I'm always talking about like there's a woman, you know, who takes care of all the cats, and they're like, there's no more houses in our neighborhood anymore. Everything's you know, condos are building up, Ellis Act and everything. So the cats are roaming, you know, and I know everyone. I know everyone in the gangs. Two gangs going on. Right now. And
how's it going? How's it going with the gangs?
They're okay, but and what's weird about them? It's a Korean gang against a Mexican gang, which is weird.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's usually, you know, a Mexican gang against another Mexican gang, Korean gang, you know.
Right.
So, but they're young, so it's all about tagging the neighborhood up.
Oh, you know?
You know, and the new people moving in, they come out with their camera phones and they take the pictures. This can't be happening. I'm like, dude.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
And this is not that bad.
It's not.
I've never understood people mad at graffiti. I kind of love graffiti.
Yeah.
I mean,
when it's
like,
beautiful. Especially,
I mean, obviously, I don't want, you know, hate speech, you know, tattooed over my my home.
Yeah.
But like, when it's like artful or whatever, and it's like just, I don't know. There's something about it that I've always really liked. I guess because
leave little Ricky alone. Leave. You know, it's simple. Like there's, you know, because like these are young. You know,
and who is the woman that has all the cats?
Oh, she's great. Well, they're the neighborhood cats, you know, and I just met her from walk. I've known her for, you know, I've been over there for like almost 10 years now.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
And she has a place.
She has a small place and she has her cats. But then, she feeds, it's three blocks of, she feeds
wow.
them.
Wow.
Yeah, she's great. She's manifesting having a land and a place to be able to take them.
I'm sure. Like, good for you.
Yeah. I love it. You know.
Those cats know where to, they know.
Dinner time, breakfast time. She has them fixed. You know.
Oh, that's good.
I was just going to ask, is it just a bunch of feral cats?
No. Yeah. It's a little different. Yeah. No, I love it. You know, and people are all, the bad thing about walking through my neighborhood, it used to be the stroll. You know, the stroll is like where the working women are, is what we call it.
Yeah, the stroll.
The stroll. Yeah. No, I've never heard
of
that.
You know. I only think of Sweet Charity. Like, I think that's immediately my, like, I just think of they're like all on across the bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It used to be looking. There.
Yeah, I love it. So is it still there? The women
no, they put, you know, because they're gentrifying the area. Uh-huh. But the new people who are seeking these women, and it's not evening, it's not sometimes morning. Mm-hmm. I'm always mistaken. You know, I played one on film. It's not real. You know, and it's the weirdest things because it's older men who look harmless, and not that that is harmful.
Right.
But that's the only.
And they drive. They drive up and they.
Or
think,
they're on their bikes. You working? Where are you going? You know,
working.
Wow. Yeah, God. Yeah. So it can be disheartening. You know,
that's
You know, I'm like, well, I'm walking through my neighborhood,
right?
Just like she is over there, and you're not. You know, but I know what it has to do with.
Have you been asked that question?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That is insane.
It's insane.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and sometimes they get told. You know, my friends. Mom, sometimes they just got to get told. You just tell them, you know.
Yeah.
And other times, I'm like, I've seen these young girls, you know, here, you know. Mm-hmm. And it could be me. I'm a knock away from that. We're all a knock away from not being.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So,
that's the thing. Yeah.
You know, yeah.
It was always so crazy because doing the show, when we did our show in Hollywood, and there are all kinds of just girls walking up and down the street. I mean, that little area where we were, it was like, because it was known for cruising. And if you guys know the movie Tangerine, that's the best way of, you know, and that incredible film was shot on an iPhone right around in the same area where we did our play. And so there are lots of, you know, and just like, that's just part of the culture there. And it's just part of it. But walking out, there were three times every night in the show, I had to walk out, and I'm in full drag, and I'm walking out, you know, in this, and it's just like all those, you know.
You working?
All those ladies, and I never, believe it, Sean, I never was asked if I was working.
What?
I'm very offended. But no, it was just the other girls on the street that were just like, hey, baby, and they saw me, and they're like, I don't know if they knew I was doing a play, or if they thought this is my look. It'd be a very bizarre look to try to sell. It's like playing a 1960s housewife, but you never know what people are into. But I also love when they saw Gina. Our friend
That's
Gina.
What I was thinking.
Because like they see me and they're like, oh, I mean, because it's a lot of trans women, and it's like I'm walking out in drag, and they look at me and they're like, oh, it's just one of us. Cool. Yeah. But they saw our friend Gina in the play, who was a maid, and she's in a full like 1960s hazel maid.
Right.
And she walked out, and one of the girls looked at her and just goes, the fuck?
Yeah, so great.
I was like, that's what you're trying to rock? A maid look? Like an old maid?
Oh, that's not gonna work here, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The fuck?
The fuck?
The theater. Oh, the theater.
Oh, the theater. Oh, it's a theater. Sense. Okay, I see. They're telling stories. I get it. I get
that's
it.
That's not gonna
work. But it's also crazy, like, what we do. I just have these moments too, and I'm like, we put on costumes and we go out in front of people and just like la 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 la, like just entertain them and then take them off and then leave. It's like, what a crazy you go to Sweden to play a person and the thing and you know, or whatever, and it's just it's nuts. It's like we're all sort of, you know, putting it out there and yes, I mean, I think it's like, I sort of enjoy that part of living in the city where like all different kinds of people are all around you, you know?
Yeah, I do.
And
I
there
love
is,
it.
You know, and this sense of security and safety and, oh, you know, we don't want this in this neighborhood and we want a nice neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, there's all kinds of horrible shit that happens everywhere.
Yeah.
And, You know, it's so funny that, you know, because I just, I guess it was a few months ago, like watching the OJ documentary and like all the emphasis on Brentwood and how everyone was like, we couldn't believe murders could happen in Brentwood. Yeah. And you're like, you know, aside from the fact that it was like a celebrity was involved, that it was just the fact that, you know, not in this neighborhood, that belongs somewhere else. And it's like, and it, again, it's wrapped up into the idea of like not wanting to give up your money or your toys. You're like, we are all on this planet together, whether you like it or not. And we are all capable of the same dark, horrible shit and the same beautiful human experience. Yes. You know, we're all capable of that. We have that in us to do any of those things. And you think that with your money or your, you know, privilege or whatever you have that you think you have over someone, and that's like the grossest side of people to me. It's like the sense that like, well, I'm a little bit better than that,
right?
You know, I'm not trash, or I'm not, you know. And it's like everyone's sort of climbing to be better than, and it's like just be, you know, just be okay with all of it, like, and just know that like these kids in a gang are not out to, like, you know, hurt you and make it, you know, just don't met, like...
Well, that's like city living. That's like city living to me. I'm like, I know when someone is sketchy and when they're not. It has nothing to do with their skin color or anything. You can just tell.
You can vibe it.
When you can vibe it, you're like, that person is not on a level, and it happens, you know, sometimes.
That's really smart to do. But also, like, growing up in the South and like all the crazy, I mean, I just listened to the podcast S-Town that I know everybody's talking about, you know, the new, I know.
Totally.
And it's like, oh yeah, that's where I come from. And I know that, that small town, and everybody knows each other's business. And there's all kind of weird things that are, you know, that are not dealt with.
Yeah.
And there's maybe was a murder, but maybe not. Maybe it was just a rumor. And I'm sure this, you know, this older confirmed bachelor who lives with his mother and fixes clocks is definitely gay and in love with this young kid who's, you know, married, and across all the sort of stuff that happens, like, you know, you're just like, this can happen, you know, anywhere. And like, you know, and so like, it is about having, you know, good instincts and knowing, like, you know, wherever you are. And always to me, the scariest horror movies are all like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, when it's like, oh, we're in the country with no one around us, and there's a madman with with some weapon running after me.
Everyone is white,
and everyone's white.
I'm like, wait a minute, I'm always like a little sketchy. I'm like, everyone's white here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a little on edge.
Like, but it's that thing where you're like, I am comforted by people around me.
Yeah.
Like, I remember going to New York City for the first time when I was in ninth grade, and I was like, there are people everywhere.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah.
I feel so connected. I feel so safe.
Yeah.
And I'd heard all the horror stories about New York, and I was like, I love the people here. And I, to this day, I love it. I love people in New York, you know. And so I think it's just about, like, if you live in a city, you've got to be okay with that, but also be comforted by that. And there are people around you all the time, and get to know your neighbors. And like, and talk to them. And I'm terrible about it in my building, and I try to get better at a couple of the neighbors that I don't know. And but it's you know, it's kind of what we're doing here.
Yeah.
You know?
I know blocks upon blocks upon blocks. Like,
I love that you do that. Yeah. I love that.
It's like Pearl from 227. Yeah. Just like, I'm so nosy. I'm the hood police. Like, I know what's going down.
I love that you said 227.
Yeah.
I love 227.
Helen Martin.
Jackie.
Was that her name?
Yes.
I love her so much. Jack A.
Yes. Yeah.
Marley Gibbs.
Yeah.
Like,
so
it was such a good show. It was such a good show.
Yeah.
But that's good. I mean, like, to know, I mean, that's part of being alive and not feeling like you're alone. I mean, that keeps you away from,
exactly.
You know.
You mentioned connected, and I'm thinking, you know, I was telling Sean, I was like, I'm quiet, you know, I love being around people like you, but, you know, I'm pretty, you know, maybe I'm an introvert, maybe not, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel so connected when I'm, you know, to everyone just walking.
Exactly.
And it does, you know, give you life in a different way.
It's like the ocean, you know, like the ocean can totally kill you. But the ocean is an amazing place.
Yeah.
But you know what also can kill you? A puddle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you can drown in a puddle.
Yeah.
You can drown in a lake. You know, like, that could also kill you. But if you don't have your wits about you, for sure.
Yeah.
But the experience that you get from being in the ocean is so much greater than that of being in, like, a puddle.
Yeah.
Or,
well,
like, in a lake, you know.
Yeah, I love that.
So it's like, you know, beautiful. You have to be aware of what's going on, but it's also so much more inspiring and mm-hmm. invigorating to
Well, I think, too, we go through a lot alone, and we think, I'm the only person who thinks this way and feels this way. Mm-hmm. And then you go online and you see people's presence on social media, and they're only presenting. I mean, I make a point. I don't air everything I'm feeling all the time or complain. You know, it's like I'm very aware of what I'm putting out there into the, you know. And I think we all are on some level. Yeah. And so we present a version of ourselves, or we kind of mm-hmm. say, you know, and in our world, it's like, watch me on this thing, or like, come see me in this show, right. or whatever. And so, you know, when I run into people, they're like, you're doing really well. God, things are going on. I'm like, oh, if only you, I'm fine. I'm yeah. not, and yeah. I'm not in a horrible, and it's all good. But I'm also like, yeah, I'm feeling all kinds of weird things. And yeah. I have like a down day, or I feel like, oh, what am I doing with my life? I still go through all that. Like you yeah. go through. But you don't really see that online
Never.
Until you go out and talk to people mm-hmm. and like connect with mm-hmm. them and just, and it doesn't even mean that you even talk about those things.
Right.
Right.
But you, when you just have just even small talk or some sort of connection mm-hmm. with somebody in your neighborhood or somebody yeah. in your city, or you run into somebody, you do feel like I belong here. There's, you know, and it does satisfy this thing because it's very lonely. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. to, you know, to be alive right now. I really do think it is. And I think yeah. even for people that are like,
so lack of hope.
That are like, you know, so married and with, you know, or in relationships, I think it's still that feeling of like, oh, I'm all alone in mm-hmm. this. And yeah. you're really not. None of us are. We right. can just, you know, we choose to either engage with the world or we choose to shut down. And I think also getting older, you can either be generous and open yeah. to change and to yeah. new people in your life and new experiences, or you can just be like, nope, this is how I feel. This is what I think.
It is. Yeah.
This is what, you know, and I'm not changing. And, you know, yeah. and you can just like clench down and just be angry a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. A lot of this administration, there's just so much anger from that mm-hmm. because they've shut down, mm-hmm. because a lot of that generation has shut down mm-hmm. and there's misdirected anger and they just direct it at minorities mm-hmm. because they don't know where else to put it. It's just that deeper sense of loneliness, sadness.
Well,
human.
they also think that these things are going to make them happy. They think all this money and having all these things are going to eventually equal something, and they immediately do not make you happy.
Yeah.
And so you're like, wait, I should have this feeling. Why don't I have this feeling? You know, and it's like, well, maybe you haven't hugged anyone in yeah. 6 years or whatever. Maybe you
yeah.
haven't
yeah.
had lunch with someone yeah. that's not, you know, your, you know, family member or something. You know, like you
and
haven't.
The, yeah.
You know, and so they, on a human level, they're not experiencing something that's so vital to yeah. humanity. And so all they have is like this, like, you know, power. And it does make you really angry.
Yeah.
You know,
and that'll somehow cheat death or something.
Yeah.
that, yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Somehow they are cheating death. I don't know how many of them are alive.
I
don't know. The Velveeta. And what was I screaming about earlier?
Oxycontin and Velveeta.
Oxycontin and Velveeta. Yeah. How are you alive?
Just screaming pink
bacon.
Oh,
my God.
just burnt pink.
Screaming burnt pink rage. I love it. All right. Well, we're out of time.
Ah!
Oh, look how that happened.
So fast.
Oh, I wanted
to do my monologue.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, do it.
I want you to just break into a Shakespearean monologue yeah. now. You just did Lady Macbeth right now, and you just went way into it.
Mm-hmm.
You guys like, ready?
I'm ready.
I love it.
I didn't give a speech warm-up. I didn't do a speech warm-up.
What is it?
Do it.
It would be so amazing. We would just sit here and be like, what is it?
Yeah.
Who mm-hmm. was I with? I was just with someone recently, and he just sort of going into, he's doing a Shakespeare or something, and he just started going into it, and it was so bizarre. Because I sat there, and I was like, that's very good.
Yeah.
That's
and
true.
Weird.
Oh, very okay. Sure. Yeah. Uh huh. But you're like, I can't respond to what you're saying to me other than excellent job.
Can't interact with this.
Nope. Uh-huh. But actors are just like everyone else. They just bust into Julius Caesar whenever they feel the need to, you know, over eggs. Why not?
Once more onto the breach, dear friends. Once more.
Oh.
See? There
See?
You go.
I know. See? I had to memorize that for a play once.
It was very James Mason almost. James Mason. All right. I want to thank my guests, Julon Chidi Hill and Sean Buchholz. Thank you guys for being on the show today.
Thank you so much.
You.
So fun.
Y'all are delightful. Yeah. This was wonderful. Yeah. And everybody, this has been another episode of Drew Drogi's Minor Revelations. Have a week.
Weeks.
Feral Audio.